New Thinking Aloud is presented by the California Institute for Human Science, Mind, Body, Spirit University, a leader in fully accredited in-person and online U.S. college degree programs in the topics we cover here. Visit their website at cihs.edu.
Thinking Aloud. Conversations on the leading edge of knowledge and discovery with psychologist Jeffrey Mishlove.
Hello and welcome. I'm Jeffrey Mishlove. Today we'll be exploring Reiki healing. With me is Reiki Master Dr. Jeffrey Martin, who is the author of The Complete Guide to Reiki, a three-volume set. There are probably four or five volumes, as a matter of fact. He is the director of the Center for the Study of Non-Symbolic Consciousness. He is also a research professor at Sophia University in Palo Alto, California, and director of the Transformative Technology Laboratory at Sophia University. His other publications include a novel, The Fourth Awakening. In fact, it's a whole series of novels based on the concept of the Fourth Awakening, and also The God Formula. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks. It's great to be back with you.
It's a pleasure to be with you again. I have to say there's something about your very presence which is enlightening.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. I always enjoy being with you.
Same here.
And let's talk about Reiki, and let's talk about how you first got involved in this movement, which is so extensive. I think 20 years ago, hardly anybody had heard of Reiki, and now it's practically in everyone's vocabulary.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Really, a long time ago, now, I hate to say it, you start to get older and you start to think to yourself, geez, was it really 1992? But it was. I think it was around 1992. And my mom got cancer. Mm-hmm. And I was young and very young. I was like a toddler. And really emotionally, very emotionally immature, mm-hmm. really, and not able to deal with the idea that my mom might die, mm-hmm. Or anything like that. And so I was really desperately looking for anything that I could do that might make an impact. And it just so happened that a lady came to town. I was living in Peoria, Illinois at the time. And a lady came to town named Jeannie Greening, who wound up being one of the world's great Reiki teachers. Mm. And she had a class. It was, I think, on my birthday of June 12th that year. And so she taught me Reiki. Interestingly, one of my close friends was a holistic physician. Mm-hmm. And he was also taking the class. And he was one of the first people to have like NIH grants and stuff like that. I mean, he was the real deal in terms of early holistic medicine. And so he was my partner. And we were paired up. And so I have this famous holistic physician, doing Reiki on me. And I'm just this young guy, right? And I'm sort of doing
In Peoria, Illinois.
The whole thing is really improbable, right, from the start. Yeah. But when I was working on him, my hands got so hot that he actually asked me to either tone it down or maybe to like lift my hands a little bit off of him or whatever, which was really kind of interesting. And in fact, I even got a little burn. There's this one place where you put your hand sort of like this, and I got a little burn from my fingernail right there. And so I'm like, okay, something is going on. At the time, I was a broadcast engineer. I was doing sports broadcasting for lots of the big networks and stuff like that. I was mostly an audio guy, but I kind of did everything.
So you weren't quite a toddler.
I wasn't quite a toddler, no, but I was very young. Yeah. I had that career way, 20, 30 years ahead of where everybody that I worked with was the age I am now. I was in a way like their son that they were taking under their wing who just never screwed up and got lucky. So that was an interesting phenomenon for an engineer, for someone with an engineering mindset. I mean, something was clearly happening there.
Heat is definitely a physical effect.
Yeah, absolutely. And I asked the teacher about it, and mm-hmm. the teacher basically said, oh, well, if that happens, just intend that it be something other than heat. If heat mm-hmm. bothers you, then just have it be something other than heat. Uh-huh. I'm thinking that just sounds crazy, right? But yeah. And so I thought, okay, well, what else can it be? And so I didn't know what to make it, right? So I just said, hey, can this be something other than heat? And it switched to tingling uh-huh. almost immediately, which uh-huh. wound up being kind of useful over the years because tingling has a certain vibrational rate, and you can mm-hmm. kind of tell like what type of energy, if it's like a slower physical energy or a higher level, more rapid energy that's sort of being pulled through you. Mm-hmm. So I get done with that class, and it was an interesting experience, right? My mom by this point is like in surgery and coming out of surgery, and literally I'm so emotionally immature at that stage in my life that I even have difficulty going to the hospital to see her. I mean, I just was not mentally
capable. It would be very trying emotionally for anybody to watch their mother in those circumstances.
And it was for me. So ironically, the next person I worked on wasn't my mom. Mm-hmm. It was a friend of mine's hairdresser. Mm-hmm. And she had a cast on her wrist. She'd slipped and fallen, and she'd shattered her wrist, and it needed surgery. It was really, really badly shattered. She had an x-ray with the whole, you know, bones floating around in mm-hmm. there kind of thing. And there were 3 days before her surgery, and Jeannie had said, you do Reiki 3 days in a row, you know, following the hand positions very carefully. Mm-hmm. And they have a little chart of hand positions yeah. for the front and back of the body. So I did that, and she went in on the third day. Literally, I did her in the morning, and she went in the afternoon of the third day. It was like there was nothing wrong in the pre-op x-ray. Like nothing had happened to her wrist. And so she has this one x-ray where there's, you know, huge amount of damage, needing surgery, the whole bit.
You're talking about broken bones.
Yeah, broken bones, shattered wrist. Mm-hmm. And then another x-ray where it's like, fine, and the doctor doesn't believe it. You know, the doctor refuses to take her cast off because he doesn't want to get sued, yeah. thinks something must be wrong. And she just tells him, like, you know, well, I prayed and mm-hmm. whatever else, right? So she went home and basically took her own cast off, went back to cutting hair. That was a big deal to her because yeah. she was poor, mm-hmm. you know, and so her only means of support was cutting hair. So the sooner that she could get back to it, the better. And it was like that from that point on. I mean, I just saw miracle after miracle. I don't know what else to call them other than miracles. I just mm-hmm. saw miracle after miracle after miracle under my hands. Mm-hmm. So eventually I was making good money in TV. At the time, most of my friends were in college from like high school and stuff. Yeah. I went to college for a semester back then and then realized that I was in school to get jobs that I had a long time ago in TV mm-hmm. that I'd since moved way beyond. Like, yeah. what am I doing? And the teachers are telling me things that I know were wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like more up to date than the teachers. And so I dropped out mm-hmm. Early. And so I had a pretty good income from doing TV stuff, and I was thinking about my friends couldn't afford to take this training at the time because at the time it was typical for a Reiki master to charge $10,000 to teach another Reiki mm-hmm. person, or thousands of dollars for level two. There's basically three levels. Mm-hmm. Some people divide it up a little more than that now. Yeah. And so I decided that I'd seen so much. That I just decided to take a break. Mm-hmm. And so I took a break from TV and I learned how to teach it. And I've always had sort of this researcher bent to me. And so I went around and I really sort of met a lot of the original founder people, studied with people who were close to them if I couldn't study with them for whatever reason, and really got lineages back through all mm-hmm. of the early major branches of Reiki. There was really no early branch of Reiki that I don't have a lineage through. Mm-hmm. And then I put it all together in a master's course, and I traveled around and I did a bunch of them. And I did it regionally, and I charged very, very little for it. I charged like $350 for it or something mm-hmm. like that. And I really tried my best to drive the price mm-hmm. of Reiki down. It was mm-hmm. me and another guy named William Rand, who I did take one of my Reiki master trainings was his Reiki master mm-hmm. training. And he's since done it like forever. Mm-hmm. He continued doing it. I did it for yeah. a couple of years until I felt like really you could get a cheap Reiki master. You know, you could get affordable Reiki training mm-hmm. wherever you were. And then I went back into TV and back into computers and business and engineering and all of that.
I see. Well, I know your career has evolved a long time. But as I understand it, the basic premise behind Reiki healing, as with many other forms of spiritual healing, is that you are channeling some form of higher consciousness, divine energy. It's not being done through your own volition.
Yeah, that's really the remarkable thing about it. I think of there being two different ways to heal people with energy. Mm-hmm. You know, one is that volitional, willed sort of healing. Mm-hmm. And that to me seems a little tricky. You better have really good intuition or very good insight or a heck of a lot of experience or something for that, right? Because you're sort of like the doctor that's carefully picking, diagnosing and carefully picking what should happen there. Thank God Reiki was nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a broadcast engineer who was 22 or 23 years old or whatever at the time could learn it. It is exactly what you say. It's a completely opposite form of it. You're not visualizing green energy here and removing some energy block up there with your mind or mm-hmm. with a crystal or whatever else. You're literally just laying your hands on. You can do it at a distance, of course. You could do it from across the room, other mm-hmm. side of the world, whatever. Mm-hmm. But usually you're in person doing it with someone directly, just sort of lightly resting your hands uh-huh. on them. And you're just opening up and you're allowing, I think, my own personal thought is that you seem to be allowing what they need to be pulled through you. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed, sort of, the researcher in me sort of noticed over the years, was that oftentimes Reiki practitioners are good at some things and not as good at other things. And I wonder to some degree if that isn't just relating to the access that they have to have things pulled through them. For instance, I didn't, ironically, given why I learned it, I'm not very good with cancer. Mm. Over the years, I've just noticed that I'm not the person that you want to bring someone with cancer to. Mm-hmm. Tons of, like the broken bone thing, ovarian cysts, just zillions of other mm-hmm. things that I've had success with, just again and again and again and again and again over the years, but cancer isn't my thing. Versus I know other people that are Reiki masters and they're awesome at cancer, but maybe, you know, if you've got a pulled muscle mm-hmm. or if you've got, you know, some sort of torn ligament or something like that, just nothing. Mm. You know, they just don't have any luck with it. And so there seem to be almost like things that people are tuned for.
Well, and which would be similar to what we find in many of the what you could call the gifts of the spirit or siddhis or psychic powers, spiritual gifts. There are a lot of individual differences. Well, the word Reiki is Japanese.
It is.
It's a Japanese tradition.
It is. And it was really founded by a guy named Makei Sui. Mm-hmm. He's often called Dr. Makei Sui, even though there's no record of him actually mm-hmm. being a doctor mm-hmm. of any sort. And his history for a long time in the West was sort of shrouded in a little bit of mystery and mythology. If you go back to the early Reiki books,
yes.
In fact, when I wrote my book, which I only wrote because I needed something to use in classes and I couldn't find anything, so it was one of the earliest Reiki books and it's been, you know, one of the more popular ones mm-hmm. over time. I had the original mythological sort of history
yes.
of Dr. Yasui and the original mm-hmm. version and for many, many years in that book until we finally had some people from Japan mm-hmm. contact some of us and say, hey, you know, he's got a gravestone mm. and on that gravestone there's a whole story and uh-huh. there are people here who are alive who knew him uh-huh. and who knew other people, you know, that were involved with him.
So you researched that.
I did, mm-hmm. But really we owe the handful of Japanese people that were still alive and mm-hmm. sort of became aware of the fact that there was this thing called Reiki in the West and reached out to us, mm-hmm. Reached out to sort of a handful of us who are yeah. sort of well known in the Reiki community and started pulling us into meetings with them and educating us. Mm-hmm. And so he was really, it seems like he was basically a lay spiritual person.
Mm-hmm. As I recall, he was born about 1865.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so this is a good memory. And so this is something that is contemporary, mm-hmm. even though it's often expressed as ancient,
yeah.
Which of course we see in a lot of things. You see it in branches of yoga that mm-hmm. were invented in, you know, nearly our lifetime, mm-hmm. But are credited as being hundreds or thousands of years old or mm-hmm. whatever. And so it had sort of that same mythologizing done yeah. to it, but it's actually a very contemporary thing.
Well, I'm sure there are antecedents, but
there are, mm-hmm. and that there was a lot of energy healing, it turned out, when I really started to research it. There was a lot of energy healing that was happening in Japan around that period. And there are a lot of sort of parallel traditions of energy healing that survived to
this day. I'm familiar with the Church of Jōrei.
Jōrei is a good example of that, yeah. Seiki Jutsu is another example of it. Seiki being a very close word to Reiki, right? And having a very similar kind of meaning.
And I suppose it's probably not so different from the science of mind treatments.
I don't know, because to me it seems like the science of mind treatments are a little more willed or a little bit more intentional. Whereas this literally is, you know, you just put your, they say hands on, Reiki on, hands off, Reiki off.
I see.
Kind of thing. It's sort of being that simple. And I can still... you know, maybe it's placebo, but I don't know if, I mean, if there was a burn. Of course, placebo, you can create burns with placebo.
We know the placebo effect is a very powerful effect.
So.
If you were doing nothing more than using the placebo effect, that alone could account for many healings.
It could. And that I really researched the heck out of the placebo world because I was curious. I was not wanting to fool myself into thinking, okay, well, something's happening here, you know, that's out of band. But things, you don't see a lot of stuff in the placebo literature around, you know, shattered wrists, looking perfect.
No, healing bones is really quite dramatic.
In there's
fact,
strong
the normal wisdom is if you've got a broken bone, go to a doctor, not a psychic healer.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so... And there were many, many, many things that I had over the years that I worked on that were clearly outside the bounds of all of the placebo and nocebo and all of that literature. And so it really, it really, I do sense that that this, whatever this sensation is, and I still feel a tingling. You know, when I put my hands on people, generally they still feel heat. I feel tingling.
Well, the idea is, I gather, that you are connecting with some other source of energy, a divine source of that's a particular divine source, a Reiki source,
right? And something clearly intelligent enough to know what it's doing and to know how to lend a hand, to know how to not make the cancer grow, right? If you're one of the people who's good at cancer, right? Cancer is a runaway thing, right? So if you're feeding energy into a living system. Why is it taking away the cancer for some people versus feeding the cancer? There's some sort of intelligence, it seems, that's built into that stream as well.
Well, I recall many years ago, the medical doctor Andrea Puharic, who did a lot of early work in psychic healing, wanted to describe it as, he called it energy, meaning intelligent energy.
Yeah, I love that term. And, you know, it's interesting to contrast this type of healing with somebody like maybe Bill Bengston's work, William Bengston, right, who has a very mental process, right? He teaches you to flip through the series of images very rapidly in your mind and all of that, right? And there doesn't seem to be, he basically believes that there's an information transfer that's happening there. And so, but when you do Reiki, you really can feel, I think I can anyway, and most of the people that I know can feel a flow of some kind. And it's almost like a bell curve. You know, you put your hands on someone, and it's almost like it starts to build a resonance with them. And then you go through a period where it plateaus, and then it just sort of drops off. And that's at that point, you can do one of a couple of things. You can either leave your hands there, see if it goes through another cycle, which if you're a real Reiki trooper, you do. And in that case, your treatments can literally last for hours and hours and hours. You can just ride through each one of those until it fades off, and then you go to a different position with your hands, and then you repeat that procedure. Or when it fades off, you can take your hands off, go to another position if you want to. But there's a sense that there is something, some sort of energy. It doesn't, maybe that's what the flow of information feels like. I don't know. But it feels to me like there's energy and information.
Well, one of the interesting things I found in your book is the idea that if you try to combine Reiki with other forms of healing techniques, for example, I think you described purchasing a healing talisman
that
you had, and it's like they conflicted with each other, and the Reiki stopped working if when it was mixed with another outside technique.
That was scary because I had to teach like that weekend. I had this big workshop that weekend, and we'd gone to a Renaissance fair, and there was a booth there of talismans.
Yeah.
This lady had gotten divorced from her husband, and she was talking about how her husband created these talismans, and he did it at the exact right astrological time. I don't know. It was a cool story, so I thought I wasn't sure what to think about talismans, but I thought they're cool looking. It's a cool story.
I had the impression that this person was very
serious
in esoteric wisdom involving charging the talisman.
Yeah, the whole bit. Yeah. Right? And so I thought, what, you know, I'm going to grab one of these. And so I picked the one. I was into healing at the time, right? So I picked the one that's for healing. And
thinking it would probably augment.
It would augment, exactly.
Yeah.
And within a few days, it's like nothing coming out of my hands. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I've got this huge workshop this weekend. All of these people are, you know, waiting to be attuned. What am I going to do? What is producing this? Have I just all of a sudden... And then it dawns on me at some point, wait a minute, the variable that's changed here is this healing talisman thing. Let's get rid of this healing talisman thing and see what happens. The Reiki slowly ramped right back in. By the time it was the second day in the workshop, I could do the attunements with no problem. It was like there was, from a engineer's perspective, I would say it was like the energies were out of phase with each other. You know, in audio, we would have an in-phase and an out-of-phase signal. And if I have a mic here and a mic here, and I have one in-phase and one out-of-phase, they basically cancel each other out, and you wouldn't hear me.
Yeah.
And so that's the way I made sense of it, because I have that sort of electrical engineer's mind, especially back then.
Well, I understand that there are today dozens and dozens of different healing techniques that fall under the umbrella of Reiki.
Right. Yeah. I think it's hard to know what you're getting today. And to some degree, that's a little bit where William Rand and I might have done a disservice by making it so affordable and making it so accessible. When you had to apprentice with somebody and pay them $10,000 and charge the next person $10,000 and all of that, it really made for a tight system. It was kind of rigorously enforced. There were community norms that you didn't deviate from and all of that. When you democratize it and when you make something much more available, it splinters just like crazy. And so it becomes very, very hard to tell, you know, what it is that you're actually getting. On the other hand, I think there was a huge benefit to that. Because when you talk about this in-phase, out-of-phase energy thing, you know, the other thing that's become possible for people is to get forms of whatever this channeled form of healing is, to get forms of it that have been added onto in specific ways. That are, you know, maybe this one is better for something than another. Version of it. And so now it's very common in the community for people to go around and get just dozens and dozens of dozens of attunements to all of these different energies. And I have to say, when Jeannie attuned me, it was like having a light switch turned on. In that attunement, my hands immediately started to feel
hot. How long did that process take?
It's very short. It's really, I mean, it can be a minute, minute and a half, you know, a couple of minutes. And it was just almost like she reached somewhere inside me and just flipped a switch, and it was like, wow, bam, wait, something's going on in my hands, right? And so I think there is a benefit to all of these sort of, all of the changes and the cobbling together of different versions of it and stuff that have gone on. But they all do trace themselves back to really these early schools.
Now, you're a researcher.
I am.
I'm not aware of any experimental research specifically on Reiki. I know there's quite a bit, a fair amount at least, in the area of psychic and spiritual healing in general, but can you say anything about the research data?
There has been research done over time on Reiki healers. Here again, I think you would get to the question of what Reiki, right? Yeah. Which Reiki is being done in which study? And so there's a little bit of, I think, of a problem in the Reiki study literature in terms of knowing what it is that was actually being studied. Now there's just sort of this generic word Reiki, which covers this huge area of all of these different, and they're not even all channeled anymore. Lots of them are mixed with partial willed, partial channel healing, all of that.
Because the way you see it, there are basically two forms of spiritual healing, the channeled form and the form based on volition.
And maybe a third one with bills that's
information.
And it's kind of volitional in that you're running the pictures through your head or whatever. But it's also kind of channeling, and you're mm-hmm. not really doing anything other than just running those pictures through your head. You're not, I'm not like looking, okay, you have a little dark spot right on your shoulder. Let me just scoop that up.
Well, when it comes to subtle energy and consciousness and the realm of spiritual matters, we know so little.
Right, almost nothing.
almost nothing. I would love to be alive 1,000 years from now when I presume there will be much more knowledge about these things in society.
Totally. From a research perspective, you know, there are studies that look very good mm-hmm. and there are studies that look unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. I think generally speaking, you know, the meta-analyses that have been done across these studies tend to say there's no effect for Reiki, which is a little baffling for me because I've seen so much personally over the years. So as from a scientist's perspective, I'd probably have to say the evidence leans against there being something to Reiki.
Okay.
But from a first-hand phenomenological experience, a direct experience in my life standpoint, I've just seen it produce miracles again and again and again and again.
Well, perhaps the researchers are missing something. There's some factor that they're not taking into account yet.
Yeah, that's why I think probably what's challenging for them is really being able to suss out, you know, what is Reiki and maybe what isn't Reiki, or sort of maybe finding the best participants, or I don't know. Maybe I should go back at some point and put together a good study on that.
Well, I'm not familiar with the Reiki healing research literature, but in general, in the research on psychic healing, I know that the state of mind of the practitioner makes a difference.
Absolutely.
There's something called the brown thumb effect in spiritual healing, where if you work with a person who's depressed for any reason and they endeavor to do healing, it may have the opposite effect.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fascinating.
These are studies done on healing of plants, and they found that, you know, when people are depressed and they're asked to channel healing energy to simple little plants, it has a negative effect.
Oh, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. In Reiki, they taught us that you are protected, that there's something built in there that is protecting you. Of course, in willed forms of healing, almost the first thing that you better learn how to do is protect yourself from the other person's energy or, you know, whatever else, right? Mm-hmm. But so from a Reiki standpoint, they just address that simply by saying, oh, no, you're just totally and completely protected.
Well,
it's not your energy. It's being pulled through you, you know, all of that. Sort of feels like.
There's so many fine points to the art of healing and
so many.
Protecting yourself. And I know we could talk about this over and over again to get to all the nuances, but our time is out. Now, Jeff, thank you so much for being with me.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for being with us.
Book 3 in the new Thinking Aloud Dialogue series is UFOs and UAP, Are We Really Alone? Now available on Amazon.
You can now download a PDF copy or order a beautiful printed copy of Issue 6 of the new Thinking Aloud magazine.